Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 24 through 37. So I invite you to turn in your Bibles or to prepare your hearts to receive these words. And actually, I'm going to read from verses 23 to 28. By faith, Moses was hidden by his parents for 3 months after his birth, because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered abuse suffered for Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt unafraid of the king's anger, for he persevered as though he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'm sure most of us probably remember the story of Moses and the immense love that his parents had for him. They were born into a situation, or Moses was born into a situation that was probably not the best in the world, but they knew that they had an opportunity to help him have something better and to be more than what he was and to not have those struggles. So what they did, since they loved him so much and they wanted to protect him, they first hid him at his birth, and hid him in a way that he would later be found by Pharaoh's daughter. And when this happened, they knew what the plan would be. Whenever she found him, they raised Moses in the household of Pharaoh during a time when everybody else, all the other people, the Israelites, were suffering oppression, and they were slaves. They were being treated poorly at the hands of the Egyptians. So think just for a minute about what his parents did. I mean, how hard would it be to give your child up so that they would have a better life? How hard would it be to make a decision that separates you from your child or some hard decision because you know that there's another choice? There's another way to make sure that needs are met and that your kid has the best opportunity. Now, I'm not saying that that's what we should do, but think about that love. Some people would look at Moses' parents and say, well, they were horrible parents because they did that. But I would encourage you to think maybe a little bit different, because they gave their child up that their child might have a chance. They gave their child up, and their child later had an opportunity to make a decision, to make a choice himself, and he did. So the Egyptian, the house of Pharaoh raised Moses. And then what eventually happens is that we see Moses come to a point in his life, and we see this in the scripture reading this morning. He comes to a point in his life where he makes a conscious decision to follow God rather than the earthly treasure of sin. Now, he had everything he wanted. I mean, the house of Pharaoh was the end-all, be-all house on the hill. I mean, it really wasn't, but it was that house up there that everybody looks at and said, man, those people must have everything they want, must have all the money in the world, everybody likes them, there's nothing bad happening, this is the place to be. And that's where Moses had the opportunity to be raised. But even in that environment, there was something tugging at his heart. In that environment, there was something going on in his mind that led him to a point where he made that conscious decision to follow God rather than to live in the treasure, the earthly treasure, which equated to sin with what was going on with the oppression, the slavery, and the poor treatment. But when I say that, note that what I say is that he makes a conscious decision. He has a choice. Now, it's like we shared with the children this morning. They had a choice when we called them up there. They could have stayed back and sit in their seats, or they could have come to the front for children's church.
We all had a choice this morning when we got out of bed. We could have slept in, or we could have got up and we come to church. And there were 27 of us this morning that got up and come to church today. So we made a conscious choice to be here. And we know what happens next. Moses goes on because he made this choice. He made this decision. And think about that hard decision that he had to make. I mean, he's got it made over here. And then over here, he knows what it's going to be like. Where he's returning to, what he's doing, is that oppression and that slavery and that poor treatment. Over here, there's none of that. He's one of them. He's one of the people that have everything they want, everything they need. Over here, he's going to have nothing. Or does he? Because he has God over here. He's doing the right thing. So the earthly treasure of what he can have is here, which equates to sin. Or the heavenly treasure of what he can have is over here, which is following God. So he goes on to become one of the greatest leaders of the Israelites, a protector of the people. He's a prophet, and he's a giver of the law. He's the one that went up on the mountain and got twice and got the commandments and brought them back down and shared with the people the Ten Commandments. Now, we understand that he had some struggles as well, that everything wasn't easy for him. And the people that he was leading, I mean, it was kind of like herding cats at times because they didn't want to listen. I mean, they really didn't want to listen, and they got discouraged and they started blaming him. And Moses, we know that in other scriptures, after he has somewhat accepted this call to go back to his people, and then we find out when the Lord calls him in an official way, that I want you to do this, I want you to lead my people out of Egypt, what does he say? He says, no, not me. I can't do it. I can't speak. I can't talk. I can't do all that stuff. You need me to choose somebody else. And the Lord said, uh-uh. It's going to be you. Every excuse he offered up, the Lord had an answer. Every time he tried to say no, the Lord kept pushing. Every time he tried to turn away, the Lord brought him back, because the Lord had tapped him to do this great thing. So Moses accepted God's call on his life. He accepted God's call on his life. And as we think about that, what did that mean? Moses goes from over here, a comfortable life, to here, a not so comfortable life. There was a lot of change because of the decision he made. He turned away from a life of wealth, a life of pleasure, a life without any real wants because he had everything, because he was raised in the house of Pharaoh. And he turned away to follow God. So imagine how strong that call is in your life whenever God starts calling and God starts knocking and God starts saying, this is where you need to be. This is what you need to do. To turn away from everything that we're accustomed to being as a measure of success, as a measure of comfort, to go to something that is totally different. Turn away from prestige to go to the not popular. So imagine how strong and how much God was working on Moses. That Moses would give up that to be with his people, and that he would see that bigger picture of God, what God had in store for him. Now when he made this decision, we know what happened. As he made the decision, he immediately jumped into the discourse between the Egyptians and the Israelites. So imagine that discussion over the dinner table. He had been part of this family over here, the house of Pharaoh. Now he's back with the Israelites. So the house of Pharaoh, the Egyptians know everything about him. The Israelites know where he had come from, and some of them had questions about him. So imagine the discourse that he had in his life. He went from being a respected and protected person as one of the Egyptians to that of being a target and somewhat of a troublemaker for the government. He had fallen out of their grace, of the Egyptians' grace, but remember this, brothers and sisters, he fell into the grace of God. He fell into the grace of God whenever he made the decision to turn away from what was wrong and to follow what was right. But the thing that we might struggle with a little bit is, how is it that a man raised in the house of Pharaoh, raised in a non-Christian environment, raised in a place where he didn't have that exposure. He didn't have, granted they didn't have evangelists then, but he didn't have evangelists to come up to him. He didn't have the people constantly talking about what it means to follow God. So how is it that he felt and responded to the call of God? Brothers and sisters, remember this, our God is bigger than anything we can experience. And there is no barrier too big, too tall, too thick, too insulated to keep us away from feeling God's presence in our life. And Moses had that experience. God works in so many ways, we don't understand them all. But what we know is this, is we know that Moses was called by God to serve him. And Moses said yes. Although reluctantly he said yes, as he started learning more about what it was that he was supposed to do, he reluctantly said yes. But the thing is God equipped him. God provided what he needed to do what he was being tasked with. God provided what he needed to have that confidence to go about what he was doing. It's not like he was being called to change jobs. It's not like he was being called to change schools. He was being called to change the class of people from whom he belonged to return him back to where he was from. He had changed everything, and God got through to him even though he was insulated by the house of Pharaoh. God got to him, and he got the word to him. Moses said yes, a call answered that involved a lot of conflict in his life and in the life of others and trouble, and a call that would never let him see an earthly reward. That's the decisions he made. And I think it was last week when we talked about how Satan comes in with trickery. How Satan knows that he can't beat God. And how Satan will come in, well, just try this one time, or it's really not that bad, and it's just a little thing, and you'll like it. We talked about how the drug dealers have their sales. They don't come up and say, if you do this, your life's going to be miserable, you're going to go broke, you're not going to have any friends, your teeth are going to fall out, you're going to have sores on your face. Drug dealers don't market their product like that. They do it a little bit different. And that's the way Satan does. We look at how Satan treated Eve in the garden and how he got her to make the decision. Well, the thing that we know about God is very direct. God is very direct. We're not promised a good life on earth, a life without trouble when we accept God. We're not. We know that we're going to experience conflict. We read the Bible. All these wonderful Christian people that serve God, every one of them had conflict and challenges and tragedies. But what God does and says this is that His grace and mercy is for us, and that we will have forgiveness of our sins, and that we'll have an eternal life. So God is very direct about what it means, the cost of what it is to be a Christian. Moses understood what the cost was. I mean, Moses not only understood it, he experienced it whenever he stepped away from the earthly treasures to following God and what was important. The decision that Moses made, the call that he answered, the choice that he made. A lot of people would just simply say, well, that's a bad decision, a disastrous decision, a bad business decision, a bad life choice. But can we sit here and say it was? Can we sit here and say it was? He turned away from what was wrong and he started following God. And we can thank God and then His commitment and His diligence for leading the Israelites out of Egypt, for making that happen, being part of that. So when you're thinking in your own lives about maybe some place you're being called to go, some place you're being called to serve, or some difficulty that you're experiencing, I mean, think about how you're part of the bigger picture, about what God has in plan, has in store. You may look at yourself and you may say that I can't do that. Moses said the same thing. I can't do that. But he did because God equipped him. And when we're thinking there might be some place in our life where, well, God, I can't do that. If you're calling me to do that, I can't be a preacher. I can't be a Sunday school teacher. I can't go work in missions. I can't do this. I can't pray publicly. I can't be part of some organization. I can't do it. I don't have the training, the experience, or the money, or whatever. If God is calling you, then yes, you can. Yes, you can. God called an Israelite who was hidden in the house of the Egyptians out of that hiding into his service amidst a bunch of conflict and amidst a bunch of trouble and struggles and agony. But called him into that service and equipped him, and he brought the Israelite people out of Egypt. You see, Moses made a conscious decision to do the right thing. He made a conscious decision to follow God. And he made a conscious decision to be that strong leader for his people. Though at times he was ready to pull his hair out, if you will, or to throw stuff up and throw it out. A little trivia question. How many sets of Ten Commandments were there? How many sets? Two. What happened to the first set? Moses got mad when he came off the mountain because the people wasn't listening and they were doing everything they shouldn't do, and he threw them down and broke them. So there's the humanity part of him. There's the part where he showed that, okay, I'm a human being, I've still got a temper, and that you folks just don't get it. I'm not pointing at you, I'm pointing in the middle of the aisle here, people outside. You folks just don't get it. You got to wake up and smell the coffee, smell the roses, and do the right thing. Now, I don't know about you, but I mean, I'm sure that probably was not an easy mountain to walk up. I don't know that I'd want to broke them, so I'd have to walk back up there again because God called him back up there. Making the right decision to be that strong leader, even whenever the people don't want to be led. To be the strong leader, even when the people don't want to be led. So when we think of the decision that Moses made, we can tie that in to the decisions that we might face at times. Now, God may be calling us into something bigger. Maybe God is calling you today into some ministry or some mission. Maybe God is calling you to be a preacher or a teacher. Or maybe God is calling you to go somewhere. I got a great friend of mine who is a wonderful job, very effective at what he does, working in the hospital system, and is going next month to a Mideastern country for an evaluation to go into the mission, become a full-time missionary. And giving up a high-level job in the hospital because God has placed that call on his life, and I've actually talked with him for a couple years about it. And he told me God was calling him to do that. And now it's coming into existence that God is calling him, and he's going, and he's taking his whole family with him. Three kids and a wife and him heading into full-time missionary service. When God gets hold of you, you can't turn away from that because God's going to keep on calling you. I can share many experiences from my call into the ministry about how God kept calling and God kept calling, and I was miserable and doing all of the wrong things and saying all the wrong things and trying to find happiness where happiness wasn't, and I finally realized that it was a God thing, and that when I said yes, then things got a lot better. Now the trials got a little bit more challenging, but things got better as far as that sense of peace in my heart. When you know it's God, you don't have a whole lot of choice because God does not quit. So when we think of those decisions, we can see how Moses demonstrated some of the same things that we experience. We can see that in this world, we could be easily misled or deceived by the temporary worldly benefit of wealth and pleasure and things and popularity, and how we could be like Moses, hid in that house of the Egyptians, the house of Pharaoh, instead of being part of what God had intended for us. Because if you think about it, the average person measures success by a nice house, successful career, car, job, whatever the case is, or maybe they talk about the education they've got, how much they pay for college, or they go out to this restaurant, and oh, I paid $100 for a plate of food last night. Not me. But that's the kind of stuff. Maybe that's the kind of stuff. Now, I'm not saying those things are bad, and I'm not saying that's sin, but what I am saying is when those things stand in your way of following God, that's when they become trouble. That's when they become idols. Anything that takes a higher priority in your life than God, that's when those things become challenging, because then you have difficulties having that spiritually fulfilling relationship with God. When those things take our focus and shift it away from God, then we have to make some difficult decisions, just like Moses did. We have to ask ourselves, what's the right thing to do? What's the right thing to do? What's the decision that deepens our relationship? What's the decision that puts us on the path of righteousness rather than the path of being wrong? What's the decision that honors and glorifies God? What is God calling us to do? And we've got to stop and pray about it and think about it and get others involved in it and help to see perhaps where we're supposed to go. But doing the right thing, brothers and sisters, remember this, is not always fun. Doing the right thing is not always fun. We might even miss out on some opportunities here on earth whenever we make that conscious decision to follow God, because we're held to a higher standard and we're supposed to do certain things, and there's places we probably don't need to go when we make that decision to follow God. Taking a stand against the wrong things and standing strong for God, that's essentially what we do, and it's not always easy. Life is not easy. So things that we may do, things that we may not do, those are the things that are affected by the decisions that we make to follow God. But we know in several places in Scripture we're told where our strength comes from. We heard the psalmist in Psalm 31 talk about the strength that we have from our Lord, who is our God and our refuge. We're told that we can be enthusiastic about the Lord's work. For you know nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that. God has a plan for each one of us. He has a map. He knows the bigger plan. He simply desires us to be obedient. And then in 1 Timothy, we know that those idle things that get in our way, money, wealth, those can be the root of evil. And we should choose instead to focus on what God has in store for us. So essentially what I say this morning is that making the right decision is not always easy. When we make the right decision, life is not going to be guaranteed to be smooth. But when we choose to follow God, which is the right decision, we receive a promise of God's grace and His mercy, forgiveness of our sins, and a life eternal for those who accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And when we go out of this world, we have to be strong in our faith. And we have to live in that model that Jesus Christ left us. And remember that His Word and His promises have not changed. We sung this morning, the choir sung this morning, standing on the promises of God. Brothers and sisters, that's what we stand on, is the promises that our God has made us. And when we accept Christ through our baptism and through our submission, we are doing just as Moses did. We are saying, "Here I am, use me. I am submitted to you." The decision to follow God, well, that's your choice. The decision to do the right thing, that's your choice. But what I leave you with is this, is what choice will you make and what reward will you receive? Today, we give the honor and glory to our Heavenly Father. Amen.